unspoken message of sorts from the character of God, which we looked at last summer. The summer has just ended. As we looked at this summer gone by, we looked at different aspects of who God is and how he reveals himself in creation to us, and how that is part of his story, revealing himself to creation, how we are part of that story. And so we'll be looking ahead to the fall, where we deal with some of the value, or with all of the values that we developed as a strategic planning committee. And these are values that make up who we are as Emmanuel and who we view ourselves as now, and also aspirational values of who we long to be as worshiping, gathering communities together. And so, so this message is to bring us from that point, looking forward into the future. So 85 years, we've been Emmanuel Baptist Church in some form. I didn't take perfect notes of Brendan's message this morning where he highlighted it. I did scratch a few things down. 1930 at Avenue I and 19th. This was the church building with the mission house on the left and the church on the right. So that's 85 years ago. Those buildings were there. After 30 years, the church moved on to Royal and Cascade Avalon Emmanuel Baptist Church. And there's the picture of the sanctuary and the building. In beautiful black and white photography. Another 30-ish years later, the church moved all the way to our present location, Emmanuel Baptist Church, at the corner of Taylor and Acadia. So that's a short summary of who we are. Throughout the next month, we will highlight a few stories of people who've been with Emmanuel for an extended period of time and celebrate this church work in Saskatoon for these last 85 years. And the connection, as Rob said a couple weeks ago, has been a gathering worshiping community for 17 years. So there's also an anniversary there. So for that reason, there will be cake. Is it September? What's the exact September 12th? That was the official grounding of Emmanuel Baptist Church. So we'll have 85th anniversary celebration cake after the service. But this ties in well to the overall theme that I wanted to talk about tonight, because it's important to know our roots, and it's important to know our past. And there's lots of people who like to look at their family history or their family tree and discover their ancestry, and that helps to inform who they are today and helps us to know like where we've come from and the journey that our fathers, our mothers, our ancestors have been on in the past. And sometimes there's really remarkably good stories and remarkably bad stories, which you're like, well, I would wish that wasn't part of my family tree. But all of these stories, in some way, perhaps even the painful ones more than the joyous ones, inform who we are now as people. These narratives don't just tell the story of the past, they also tell the story of the present and inform the stories of the future. So as we consider 85 years, we're going to be considering also how that story informs our futures. We consider our values together and who we are as Emmanuel Baptist Church. So next week, Brendan is going to share some about our mission and our vision as Emmanuel Baptist Church. And then he's going to share the following week on Scripture. And then I will share, and then Rob will share. And then we'll continue with that cycle as we go through the nine values. And this is the messages are going to be shared through the morning and in the connection to really bring us together as a dialoguing community. So I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be an interesting and exciting time together. So I know that was a sermon announcement at the beginning. I want to frame this stories of the past informing our future around the Ten Commandments. And these are probably the most famous collection of ten laws in existence. They're so great that they're recorded twice in the Bible, once in Exodus and once in the book of Deuteronomy. And it's important how they are repeated, because they're not just the laws that were given for the people as they came out of Egypt. They're also laws for the people as they're about to enter the land. They're the older laws, but they inform the new community as the new community is about to move into a new chapter in their lives. Deuteronomy actually means in Greek, second law, which highlights the second giving of the law by Moses to this new community. Moses addresses the people as they're about to enter the promised land to complete this long story that began in Genesis with the creation of the heavens and the earth and the creation of Abraham as a people, as a unique people for God, as it continued through Isaac, through Jacob, sometimes called Israel, who then went down to Egypt for 400 years with his family. A family being led by Moses out of Egypt through the Lord's mighty power, through his outstretched arm, to be his people, to be his special people, to worship him, to live in relationship with him, to reflect his image and glory. This covenant is made in its first instance in Exodus in 19 verses or chapters 19 to 24, and it's this covenant agreement between God and his people is accompanied by lightning, thunder, fire, earthquake, trembling, and a great display. And then these 10 commandments are given to the people that God has just redeemed out of Egypt to worship him, to live in community with him, to possess the land and to take care of the land as his representatives. So in this covenant agreement, there's guidelines for living in appropriate relationship with God, to live as his people. And everything is kind of, for the most part, going well up into this point, but that doesn't, that isn't the case forever. This is a slide of the journey from, it's really hard to see, it's pretty small, but from Egypt on the one side as they traveled, the different colors are the different proposed routes that they took on their journey to Sinai. And then they all end up at this one point in the wilderness of Sin, and that occurs in the book of Numbers, where they're then about to enter the promised land. And they end up on the plains of Moab, which you see the big block of Moab is just on the cusp of the promised land. And this is where Moses gives this second utterance of the law for the people as they're about to enter the land. It doesn't go according to plan insofar as immediately following this covenant agreement, Moses goes up and he hears about, through God's instructions, the building of the tabernacle. And as he's hearing about this, the people break the second commandment by building a golden calf and worshiping idols. And so this puts the covenant in jeopardy right away, but God forgives his people. He continues in relationship with them and carries them all the way to that point, to the wilderness of Sin. And as they're about to enter the land, Moses sends spies in ahead to look at the land. And they come back, 10, with a bad report, saying they shouldn't continue on, they shouldn't do it, they don't trust God in his faithfulness. And 2 with a good report, saying they should trust God. And it's this not trusting God to be powerful as they enter the land causes them to wander around for 40 long years in the desert, sojourning away from the land that God had promised them. So Deuteronomy is the words of Moses to the people after they've wandered around for a long time. He is also not able to enter the land because he didn't maintain the honor of the Lord God as they were wandering all around, mentioned in Numbers 20. So these words that Moses gives are words for a new generation as they're about to enter the land on the cusp of the fulfillment that God has promised for them for so long to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob to be a great nation. And they're now a great nation, but they're not in the land. And that's the part that's about to be fulfilled in Deuteronomy, or after Deuteronomy, as Moses is in the land, as they're looking ahead towards the conquest. And these are rules, guidelines to learn to live in the land. Deuteronomy can be broken down into a summary of how to live, or a summary of the Ten Commandments put into practice, where each section from Deuteronomy 6 to 26:15 is a further understanding of how all these Ten Commandments work out. I'll put this slide up on the web so you can check it out if you're interested in how it all breaks down as they work out the Ten Commandments. See, the Ten Commandments are the summary, and the rest is this a further wrestling with what those Ten Commandments mean. The introduction to these Ten Commandments is important because it highlights that these Ten Commandments aren't just laws that were given in Exodus. They're not past laws simply given to those people, the people from before, but they're commandments that have implications for the people now in this place as they're about to enter the land, and have implications for each generation as they wrestle anew with who God is and who they are as God's people and how to live faithfully with Him. So I'd like to read Deuteronomy 5, and I'm actually just going to read the first five verses and not all the way to 21. It's on page 263 in your pew Bibles. Moses called all the people of Israel together and said, "Listen careful, Israel. Hear the decrees and regulations I'm giving you today, so you may learn them and obey them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Mount Sinai. The Lord did not make this covenant with our ancestors, but with all of us who are alive today. At the mountain, the Lord spoke to you face to face from the heart of the fire. I stood as an intermediary between you and the Lord, for you were afraid of the fire and did not want to approach the mountain. He spoke to me, and I passed his words on to you." This is what he said. And so then these are the Ten Commandments. And it's important that one verse I want to focus on a little bit. The Lord did not make this covenant with our ancestors, but with all of us who are alive today. Because these Ten Commandments are a cycle of new discovery for these people on the cusp of inheriting what God has promised them for so long. They're commandments and an opportunity for a new beginning, a new story, as they're about to enter into what God has for them. The book of Deuteronomy leading up into this point and interspersed after is a wrestling of the ancient stories that God has been working in the life of the people since he's called them out into Egypt, the good and the bad, the wonderful and the harsh, and how it shapes who they are as a people right now. It's a new opportunity for them. And it's not an agreement that was made just in the past. It's an agreement made anew for them that day. As we hear in Deuteronomy 31, the people are instructed to read this every 7 years, all people to be present, to gather together, to hear again this reading of the law, to hear again the story of the people. It isn't just a memory of the past. It's a new opportunity for each generation, for each hearing of this law, to make new, to make alive what God has done in their lives, and to be called again each and every cycle, in each and every hearing, to embrace once again God as their God, to live into this as His people, into the future promises, the future opportunities to walk with God and exist in relationship with Him. It's a statement that we are the ones to whom God will prove himself faithful. We are the ones to whom God will reveal himself. And it's important to remember God's faithfulness, God's story, God's past actions, God's way of working in the world. To remember our times of faithfulness, our times of wrestling, our times of encountering God, our times of embracing and seeing, experiencing God's faithfulness. It's also important to remember our times of unfaithfulness, our times of wandering, our times of sojourning, our times of being away. Because these stories inform who we are and where we've come from and who we are now sitting in the pews as we wrestle again this year with who God is, as we wrestle with the present implications of the stories of the past in our lives. God's faithfulness, God's dealing with us, God's interaction with us closely in our relationship with Him aren't just made up of past stories. They're past stories with present implications. They're past stories with future implications, future opportunity, and new things. It's easy to see the summer as a time of wandering. We're often away. We're often traveling to different places. We're often more of a dispersed community during the summer as we take advantage of the short summers we're able to have here in Saskatoon. The Israelites were supposed to gather at various moments in their life, in their calendar, to gather as a community together, to share stories, to remember God's provision, God's redemption, God's faithfulness, after times of being apart, to gather once again. After the summer is an opportunity to once again reconnect, to tell the stories of our lives, to tell the stories of how we've been journeying, to remember who we are as a gathering, worshiping community. It's definitely not extreme as ancient Israel, as we are involved in life together in so many areas, but it's important to intentionally say this is a time to think about who we are and who we've been in the past, as we think about who we can be, who we should be, who we must be in the future. To tell individual stories that make up the story of us, and the story of us that influences who we are as individuals, together in community, journeying together. To consider once again what it means to live in wholeness, to live in peace, to live in shalom. To live in shalom with God, to live in shalom with ourselves, to live in shalom with our neighbors, to live in shalom with creation, in wholeness, completeness, in true relationship. As we inhale in our gathering time, as we then exhale, as we are sent from this place, sent from the table into the places we find ourselves to be God's image bearers, to recognize that we are part of a larger story of God's work in the world. As we share in stories of God, of successes, stories of where we've seen God's presence made alive, as we share stories of disappointment and frustration, they all build a picture of who we are. They all help us to more fully understand who God is as we share who we are as a community together. And we do this all through Jesus, through his death and resurrection, through his lordship. That is the major event where God has redeemed us with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, as he's called us into relationship with him, as he's formed a new covenant in our hearts and in our lives. And it's through this great act of Jesus that we are then bound together as a worshiping community, where we each one of us carry part of him in our hearts. And as we worship together, we are molded around his image and his glory and his likeness. As we work out together how these ancient stories, how these Ten Commandments, how his scriptures, how his words in the Beatitudes and in the Gospels call us into further relationship, we work these out anew, each and every gathering, each and every moment of worship, each and every time we come to the table, how those words can be made anew, made alive in our lives and alive in the life of the community around us. We share in this covenantal story of creation, of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob, of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the early church, the church, and all its various successes and failures in these stories. In Emmanuel Baptist Church in these 85 years, and the connection in these 17 years in this place, we share these stories, we make them alive, we wrestle with them anew, each and every gathering experience, as we read the scriptures, as we worship, as we share story. The table is a story of the new covenant where Jesus makes the new covenant for his people, those who will be centered around him in his mighty act, in his mighty deed, in his death and resurrection. In Exodus 19-24, the closing of that passage is this wonderful experience where the elders fellowship with this absolute intimacy, close intimacy with God, Exodus 24, verse 9 says, "Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. Under his feet there was something like a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. God did not lay his hand on the chief of men of the people of Israel. Also they beheld God, and they ate and drank." After this, Moses receives the covenant stones. And I tell this story to make the transition between the old covenant to the new covenant, down the mountain, through the journey of the Israelites, instances good and bad, to the plains of Moab, to Jesus, at the institution of the new covenant meal, where Jesus, who while eating with the disciples, says this, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Jesus also says, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." It is the old story recast in a new story that we are now invited to be part of, a new story that is written each and every week as we partake in his body and his blood, as we eat and fellowship together as a worshiping, gathering community, not just the community here, the community of all saints, all who've partaken in some way at this table. The table is an opportunity to tell again the story. It's an opportunity to tell again the experiences of God, his faithfulness, his redemption, his story, his acts, his deeds. This story being made new each and every encounter of Jesus redeeming us, bringing us together. His story is told each week in these elements, in our lives, in the story that he is writing with us, through us, in him, and in the world, as we are called to partner with him in the telling of these stories.